Welcome back for another deep dive. And today we're going to be tackling a UN initiative that you might not have heard of.
That's
It's called the United Nations Spatial Data Infrastructure.
Mm.
You ever wish that everybody spoke the same language?
Oh, yeah.
Especially when it comes to like maps and locations and things like that. Well, that's the ambitious goal of UNSDI.
Wow.
And we've got a stack of reports and strategy documents to unpack. And trust me, there are some seriously cool nuggets in here.
I bet. It's remarkable, really, when you think about the UN. We often think about it on this like grand scale, right? Peacekeeping and Security Council, all that.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, they're constantly working to become more efficient and effective, more coordinated all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so this deep dive is kind of like going behind the curtain a little bit to see how they're trying to leverage something as fundamental as location data.
Right. It's like, how can the UN possibly send peacekeepers or deliver aid or track deforestation if they don't know precisely where things are happening on the ground?
Exactly. You would think it'd be obvious,
yeah.
Right? But the interesting thing is that historically, different UN agencies haven't always played nicely together when it comes to data.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost like they were these separate kingdoms, each with their own maps and languages.
So wait, they were practically tripping over each other trying to gather the same information.
Yeah, you got it. And that lack of coordination led to wasted resources and, frankly, hampered the UN's ability to respond effectively to crises.
Hmm, that makes sense.
Think about it. If you're trying to deliver emergency supplies after an earthquake, but you've got three different UN agencies using three different maps.
Oh, my gosh.
Chaos is inevitable.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's where this UNSDI thing comes in. It's like they finally decided to get everybody on the same page map-wise.
Now, precisely. UNSDI is all about creating this shared platform for what we call geospatial data. So think maps, satellite imagery, even the location of a tiny village in the Amazon. By speaking the same geospatial language, the whole UN system becomes more efficient, more effective, and ultimately has a greater impact on, you know, the problems that they're trying to solve.
I like it. Okay, now before we dive into the nitty-gritty, I need a little ELI-5 here.
Okay.
What exactly is a spatial data infrastructure, or SDI, and why is a global one so important?
Well, think of an SDI like a toolbox for geospatial data.
Okay.
It's not just the maps and data itself. It includes the technology, the standards, the policies, and even the partnerships that make it all work.
Wow.
Think of it like building a library.
Yeah.
You need the books, you need the shelves, you need a cataloging system, and you need librarians who know how to find everything.
Right.
And a global SDI is crucial because so many of the challenges that the UN is trying to address, things like climate change or poverty, they don't respect national borders.
Right.
So you need that global coordination.
Okay, so it's like creating a global library of location information that anyone in the UN system can access and understand.
You got it.
Hmm.
And that's where those four primary business cases for UNSDI come into play.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned those earlier. But before we unpack each one, I'm curious about, you know, who are the key players in this whole UNSDI thing?
Right.
And what's in it for them? I mean, why should they care about sharing their maps and data?
Well, the stakeholders are incredibly diverse.
Yeah.
You've got global organizations, governments, NGOs, even local communities.
Yeah.
And the benefits are pretty substantial. Imagine a world where you don't have to waste time and resources collecting the same data over and over again. That's one of the biggest advantages of UNSDI.
So it's like a massive cost-saving measure for the UN. No more reinventing the wheel every time they need a map of a particular region.
Exactly. And it's not just about saving money. It's about making better decisions.
Okay.
Imagine you're trying to plan a vaccination campaign in a remote area. Without accurate data on population distribution and settlement locations, it's like shooting in the dark. But with UNSDI, you have all that information at your fingertips, allowing you to target your efforts more effectively and reach more people.
Wow, that's a great example. It sounds like UNSDI could be a game changer for a lot of the UN's work.
It has that potential.
Yeah.
And there are already some compelling examples of how it's making a difference. Take the GeoNetwork Initiative, for instance.
Okay.
It's an open source software tool that acts like a global catalog for geospatial data. Allowing users to search for and access existing data instead of having to collect it themselves.
Oh, so it's like a giant online library specifically for maps and location data.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It prevents duplication of effort, saves valuable time and resources. And then there's the SALB project.
Hold on, SALB, what's that stand for?
It stands for Second Administrative Level Boundaries. Essentially, it's like having a highly detailed map of all the different administrative regions within a country.
Wow.
Which is crucial for things like election monitoring, disaster response, or even just understanding local demographics.
Okay, so it's kind of like having a Google Maps for the UN, but with a lot more detail and a focus on development and humanitarian work.
Exactly. And the SALB project is a great example of how collaboration within the UN system can lead to the creation of valuable resources that benefit everyone.
So we've got the why of UNSDI pretty well covered,
Right.
but I'm curious, how do you actually go about building something this complex?
Well, it's a phased approach, kind of like constructing a building. You don't just start putting up walls without a blueprint, right?
Okay, so walk me through it. What are the different stages of this construction project?
The UN has outlined four main stages of implementation,
Okay.
each building upon the previous one.
All right, let's break those down, starting with stage one.
Okay, stage one is all about laying the foundation, establishing the organizational architecture, and refining those all-important policies and standards.
So it's like drafting the blueprints and getting all the permits in order before they even break ground on the actual UNSDI building.
That's a perfect analogy. And then in stage two, the real construction begins. They start developing those core data layers, like administrative boundaries, population density infrastructure, and so on. They also focus on creating what's called standardized metadata and setting up catalog services, which is basically like creating the library card catalog so people can actually find the information they need.
Okay, so it's not just about dumping a bunch of maps and data into a giant server somewhere. It's about making that information accessible and usable.
Absolutely. And then in stage three, they start focusing on institutionalizing the infrastructure. This is where they equip and staff UNSDI portals, making sure the data is properly maintained and updated, and really integrating it into the everyday work of the UN. It's like making sure the library is fully staffed, the lights are on, and the doors are open to the public.
So it's about making UNSDI a living, breathing part of the UN system rather than just a side project.
Right.
What about stage four? You mentioned continuous improvement. What
Lovely.
does that actually look like?
Stage four is where things get really interesting. It's about recognizing that UNSDI is not a one-and-done project, but an ongoing process of evolution and adaptation. The world is constantly changing. New technologies are emerging, and the UN needs to be able to keep up.
It's like you build this amazing library, but then you realize you need to keep adding new books, updating the catalog, and maybe even renovating the building every once in a while to stay relevant.
Exactly. Stage four is about constantly monitoring and evaluating UNSDI, getting feedback from users, and looking for ways to improve its functionality and impact.
You know, as we're talking about all these stages and processes, I'm reminded of something we discussed earlier. It's not just about the technology, right? The success of UNSDI depends heavily on people and partnership.
Absolutely. Remember that SDI iceberg analogy? The tip of the iceberg might be the technology, the servers, the software, the data, but what really makes it all work is everything below the surface. The people, the policies, the partnerships, and the culture of data sharing.
So even if you build the most amazing geospatial platform in the world, it's not going to succeed if people aren't willing to use it or share their data.
Precisely. One of the biggest challenges for UNSDI is overcoming those ingrained silos within the UN system and fostering a true spirit of collaboration. It requires a cultural shift, a recognition that data is a shared resource that can benefit everyone.
And it's not just about collaboration within the UN, it's about partnerships with external organizations as well.
You're absolutely right. The UN doesn't have a monopoly on geospatial data. Governments, NGOs, research institutions, even private companies all have valuable data that could contribute to UNSDI. And by the same token, UNSDI can provide valuable resources and information to those partners.
It's a win-win situation. But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about those four primary business cases driving the need for UNSDI. You mentioned them earlier, but I think it's worth revisiting them in a bit more detail.
Okay, so let's unpack those business cases. The first one, the provision of spatial data and information is the most straightforward. It's about making sure that reliable, accurate, and up-to-date geospatial data is available to everyone who needs it within the UN system and beyond. Think of it as the foundation upon which everything else is built.
So it's like saying, hey, we need to make sure everyone has access to the same basic set of maps and information.
Exactly. Then the second business case is the development of common data services. This is about adding value to that raw data, making it easier to analyze, visualize, and use for decision making. It's not enough to just have a bunch of maps and data sitting around. You need the tools and services to actually make sense of it all.
So it's like providing the ingredients and the recipe.
Precisely. Imagine you're trying to understand the impact of climate change on a particular region. You need data on rainfall patterns, temperature changes, sea level rise, population density, agricultural yields, and so on. But simply having all that data in separate files isn't very helpful. You need tools and services that can bring that data together, analyze it, and present it in a way that's easy to understand. That's what common data services are all about.
Okay, that makes sense. What about the third business case, capacity building? You mentioned that it's particularly important for developing countries.
Right. Capacity building recognizes that not everyone has the same level of expertise or resources when it comes to working with geospatial data. So it's about providing training, technical assistance, and support to countries that need help developing their own spatial data infrastructure or integrating with UNSDI.
So it's about leveling the playing field and ensuring that everyone can benefit from this global geospatial resource.
Exactly. And the final business case, promoting partnerships and cooperation, is all about recognizing that UNSDI can't exist in isolation. It needs to be embedded in a web of collaborations with other organizations both within and outside the UN system.
It's like the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
That's a perfect way to put it. UNSDI needs to be a collaborative effort, bringing together the expertise, resources, and perspectives of a wide range of stakeholders.
You know, listening to you describe these business cases, it strikes me that UNSDI is not just about maps and data. It's really about connecting people and ideas.
That's a great observation. Mm-hmm. At its core, UNSDI is a communication tool. It's about creating a shared understanding of the world around us and using that understanding to solve problems and create a better future.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about the why of UNSDI, the stages of implementation, the importance of partnerships, and those four key business cases. But I can't help but wonder, are there any potential downsides to all this data sharing? I mean, with all this information being centralized and accessible, couldn't there be some unintended consequences?
That's a really interesting question, and it's one that the UN has grappled with from the very beginning. It's true that any large-scale data sharing initiative comes with certain risks. One of the biggest concerns is data security.
Right. How do you ensure that all this sensitive information doesn't fall into the wrong hands? I mean, we're talking about data on refugee camps, disaster zones, military deployments. The stakes are pretty high.
Absolutely. And that's why data security is a top priority for UNSDI. They've implemented robust security measures to protect sensitive information, including access controls, encryption, and rigorous data governance policies.
So it's like building Fort Knox for geospatial data.
You could say that. But it's not just about keeping data secure. It's also about ensuring it's used ethically and responsibly. And that's where things get a bit more complex.
Because even with the best intentions, there's always the potential for data to be misused or misinterpreted, right?
Exactly. And that's why UNSDI has a strong emphasis on data governance and ethical considerations. They've developed guidelines and best practices for data use, and they're constantly working to educate users about the importance of responsible data handling.
So it's not just about building the technology, it's about building a culture of ethical data use within the UN system and among its partners.
Precisely. And it's an ongoing process, a constant dialogue about how to maximize the benefits of data sharing while minimizing the risks.
Okay, so there are definitely some valid concerns about data security and ethical use, but let's not lose sight of the bigger picture here. UNSDI has the potential to be a powerful tool for good.
Absolutely. It's about empowering people with information, fostering collaboration, and ultimately helping to solve some of the world's most pressing problems.
It sounds like a really ambitious undertaking, and I'm eager to hear more about the potential impact. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's take a quick break and come back for the final part of our deep dive into UNSDI.
All right, we're back and ready to wrap up our deep dive into UNSDI.
Great.
We've talked about the why, the how, even some potential risks.
Right.
But I want to get to the heart of it now.
Yeah.
What does a thriving, fully functional UNSDI actually look like in the real world?
Well, that's a great question. And it gets to the core of how you measure the success of this kind of initiative.
So imagine a world where a disaster strikes and relief organizations have instant coordinated access to crucial geospatial data.
Okay.
They know exactly where vulnerable populations are, the condition of roads and infrastructure, the locations of hospitals and resources.
Mm.
That kind of shared situational awareness can be a game changer in a humanitarian crisis.
So it's not just about having the data, it's about having it readily available and usable in those critical moments.
Exactly. That's one powerful example of a successful UNSDI in action.
Hmm.
Another indicator is the level of data sharing and collaboration happening behind the scenes.
Okay.
Are UN agencies actually breaking down those silos we talked about and freely sharing their maps and data?
Right.
Are they using common standards so that information can flow seamlessly between different organizations?
So it's about measuring how well they're actually speaking, that common geospatial language we keep coming back to?
Precisely. And then there's the engagement of external partners. Huh. A truly successful UNSDI becomes this global hub for geospatial information, attracting contributions from governments, NGOs, research institutions, even private companies.
Wow.
The more people who participate, the richer and more valuable the data becomes.
It's like that network effect you see with social media platforms. The more users there are, the more valuable the platform becomes for everyone.
That's a great analogy. But ultimately, the true measure of success lies in the impact UNSDI has on the ground.
Hmm.
Is it leading to more effective humanitarian aid delivery? Is it helping countries achieve their sustainable development goals? Is it empowering communities to make better decisions about their own resources and futures?
So it's not just about the technology itself, but about the tangible positive outcomes it enables.
You nailed it. Yeah. And measuring those outcomes requires ongoing monitoring evaluation and a willingness to learn and adapt.
Right.
UNSDI is not a static project. It needs to constantly evolve to meet the changing needs of the world.
Speaking of evolving needs, I'm curious about your personal take on this. As someone who's clearly passionate about geospatial information, what excites you most about the potential of UNSDI?
You know what truly captivates me is how UNSDI bridges the gap between the local and the global.
Hmm.
So imagine a community in a remote village using UNSDI to map their local water resources and then connecting with scientists on the other side of the world who are studying similar challenges.
Wow.
That kind of knowledge exchange and collaboration can be incredibly powerful.
It's like democratizing access to information and expertise, putting it in the hands of people who can use it to make a real difference in their own communities.
Exactly. And that's what makes UNSDI so inspiring. It's not just about technology. It's about empowering people and connecting them in ways that were previously unimaginable.
I think we've covered a lot of ground today, from the nuts and bolts of how UNSDI works to its potential to transform the way we address global challenges.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating exploration. And I think it's clear that this is just the beginning of the UNSDI story.
Right.
There are sure to be challenges along the way, but the potential rewards are enormous.
Well said. And who knows, maybe some of our listeners today will be inspired to play a role in shaping the future of UNSDI.
No, that would be a truly successful outcome.
Huge thanks to you for guiding us through this deep dive. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this journey of discovery. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into a topic that's shaping our world.